Okay, after you listen to this episode of OMFG, you've got to check out our very first episode of OMFG Investigates. Gender fluidity. Maybe you've heard of it before, but do you really know what it means? Emily and I found out on our brand new Howl series, OMFG Investigates. It's the first episode, guys, and it's called Do Millennials Hate Being Straight? We learned about every shade of the LGBTQIA rainbow, and we even went to a pansexual party, like, for real. Listen today on Howl Premium, and don't forget, you get one free month if you go to howl.fm and sign up with the code OMFG.
I'm Emily Foster.
And I'm Deanna Raphael.
And we're too damn young
to be this damn confused. I thought TBT stood for Turn Back Time.
I thought Zendaya was a new fad diet.
Is it pronounced meme or mem?
We don't know.
But we do care.
So we are talking to youths to hip us up to what's happening.
OMFG is a shot of pop culture Botox that will, fingers crossed, keep us young and fresh.
And super of the now.
We're doing this for us.
But we're also doing this for you, because let's face it,
you're probably pretty clueless.
Hello, friend.
Hello, friend.
A merry Xmas to you.
Well, thank you so much, and happy Chanukah to you.
Oh, thank you very much.
Well, you know, sometimes, Emily, we do shows that are all light and fun and fantastical.
Which are always fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Always fun. Yep. But sometimes they're light and bright, you know? Mm-hmm. And sometimes we do shows that have a little bit more depth to them and a little bit more, you know, weight. Mm-hmm. And I think today might be one of those shows where we learn.
We get a little learning. Well, what's cool is that, like, when we search for these youths,
right,
some of the ones that rise to the top are ones that are just doing really cool things in the community. And who we have today, Kenzie Hall, we found her on Twitter. I mean, she was tweeting at us.
Yeah.
And I click on her link. I see that she has a really cool nonprofit.
Yeah.
And that's why she's here today.
Yeah. And then we randomly had her ambassador,
Cody St. New.
Cody St. Newen. Mm-hmm. We didn't even make that connection.
No.
That was just random.
I remember when we were recording with Cody, he mentioned her name and my eyes bugged out because I had just stalked her on Twitter.
Yeah. So we have her in today. I'm really excited to meet her. She's a hustler.
Oh, my gosh. So she started this organization called Brat Pack 11. She's going to tell us all about it. I went to her website, I watched a bunch of videos, and I'm like, where does all this confidence come from? She is 17 years old. So Brat Pack 11 is an organization that she started where she's pretty much granting sort of wishes to kids who have either had a parent injured or killed at war.
Wow.
So it's really powerful stuff, and she's, you know, kind of just trying to bring light. Yeah. Her dad's in the army and, you know, was away for a lot of her childhood, and so she just, it's a very special and meaningful issue to her. So,
and this is all her, right? She kind of put it all together. Amazing. At 17, I think she was younger when she started it, so I can't wait to meet her and hear more.
Let's get her little tushy in here.
Great. And we are OMFG at OMFG Pod. OMFG.
Kenzie, welcome.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being here.
We're so excited.
I'm so excited to be here.
So we heard you're doing like amazing things, and you know, you reached out to both of us. I feel like you're hustling and sort of making this organization known and out there. And how did this all get started?
Right. So when I was 11 years old, my dad deployed to Afghanistan back in 2009, and it was an incredibly rough year for my family and I. And my little sister was only 5 at the time, so I was the big sister, so I felt like I had to have a brave face, you know, and to be there for her and to, you know, tell her things were going to be okay. But my parents really saw how much stress this deployment put on my sister and I, and so they decided for the year that my dad was deployed that we were going to be able to live out a dream. You know, they wanted to take that year and make it positive for us. And so I sat my sister down and I was like, you know, would you maybe want to do acting classes? Like, you know, is that something maybe you'd want to do? Because I've been wanting to do it forever. And her being 5 years old, she was like, yeah, that sounds like fun.
Yeah.
So acting turned out to be one of the biggest, you know, outlets and one of the best escapes for my sister and I. And it turned out to be one of my biggest passions and something I'm still pursuing to this day. But at the time, I asked my mom, why can't other military kids going through similar situations have an outlet like I had? And she didn't know the answer. And so about a week later, I received a phone call from my dad that a soldier he was deployed with, Captain Rob Yeskis, was injured by an IED. And so he was hospitalized for about a month and then passed away, leaving behind two little girls, Julie and Ava. And so I immediately wanted to do something for them. I didn't know what. And so I kind of slept on it. And I was like, you know, Mom, could we send them to Disneyland? Like, what kid doesn't love Disneyland, you know? She was like, well, we could try. So, I mean, we made phone calls to local businesses, family and friends, and we were able to raise the funds and send them there. And I got pictures back. And to see the impact it made in the family, you know, Disneyland was fun, but it was a way to let them know their sacrifice hasn't been forgotten. And so Brat Pack 11 was just born from there. And I was like, I want to continue doing this.
Oh, that's so cool.
It's amazing. And did you get to meet the girls?
I didn't. I got to meet them recently.
Cool.
Yeah. We granted another wish for them. Because at the time, Brat Pack 11 wasn't a thing when I sent them to Disneyland.
Right.
And I have more connections now. So, you know, I emailed their mom and I was like, could I possibly do another wish for them? Because they're 13 and 7 years old now. And so I, you know, Julia, the older one's kind of dealing with it really hard because it's just clicking with her that she lost her dad and he's not going to be here for those special moments.
Yeah.
And her mom was like, you know, they love Taylor Swift and Girl Meets World, but you really don't need to do anything. And so I was like, no, I got to do it. And so I was able to actually get my hands on meet and greets and concert tickets for Taylor Swift.
Oh my gosh.
I got in touch with production from Girl Meets World. And they were like, hey, we have these dates. We'd love you to come by. And one of the dates that they gave us was literally the day before the Taylor Swift concert. And I was like, this is perfect.
So it was boom, boom, like boom, time boom. Of my life.
Yeah.
Boom, boom.
And so we told them, hey, you're coming down to help us with a campaign video. And so we surprised them at a radio station on air.
That's so cool.
That they're meeting Taylor Swift.
They
met Taylor Swift.
Shut up.
I have chills and shivers.
So it was awesome. And then we went to breakfast and I was like, hey, we're taking you to a TV set because I heard you guys love acting and, you know, are interested in it. We got there and we're walking down the hallway and, you know, in the studio area. And Ava sees a Girl Meets World poster and she's like, that's Girl Meets World. And I was like, yeah. We open a door. There's Rowan Blanchard and Corey Fogelmanis. And then we open another door. There's Ben Savage and Peyton Meyer and Sabrina Carpenter, the whole cast was there. They flipped. So it was awesome.
Wow, that's crazy.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I can't imagine being that age and losing a parent is just devastating.
Absolutely.
You know, and it will be devastating for the whole rest of their lives. You know, it gets different, but it's so hard. And, you know, giving kids this like little burst of sunshine that they have, a new memory, something that's positive out of something that's so terrible. It's just wonderful.
Thank you. Yeah, I think people kind of forget that military brats go through so much. You know, there are organizations for our veterans and our soldiers, which is awesome.
Right.
But, you know, kids, military brats can get PTSD too.
I'm
you know,
sure.
They can, it's rough on them just as much as it's rough on, you know, the wife and the husband and
right, because it's not just, you know, there's someone passing away, which is beyond. A parent passing away is devastating. But then all that leads up to that of the fear of that maybe happening, and then it's realized.
Right.
I mean, that's hard to move forward from that. You know, it's hard to have faith in, like, that things are going to work out and
absolutely
that your worst fear isn't going to come true.
Right.
You know.
Right. And I don't know, the whole time when I first heard about Julie and Ava, like, I just kept thinking, like, what if that was my dad? You know, that it broke my heart. And Ava, the little one, doesn't have any memories with her dad.
Right.
She doesn't have anything to hold on to. Julie has, you know, quite a few. And I don't know if that makes it any better or worse, but it's just heart-wrenching. You know, he's not going to be around for their wedding day or, you know, birthdays. It's awful.
Yeah.
And it's cool that, you know, you were able to take your feelings about your own dad's deployment and to really turn that into something so positive for everyone too. How proud is he?
He's really, really proud. When I first started it, you know, I was like, you know, I want to help other military brats. And he's like, oh, okay, that's great. He didn't think it was going to be like a full-on charity thing where I'm out here in LA and building my own team. But he's super proud. It's awesome.
And you had our former guest, Cody, on. Yeah. How did you connect with him?
Oh, that's such a fun story. So this was when, I don't know, it was like the end of last year, beginning of this year. And we have a board member for Brat Pack 11 named Jeremy Gordon. And he's our operations director. And at the time, you know, I'd still love it. I wanted to get the Teen Wolf cast involved because it'd be like the Wolf Pack helping out the Brat Pack.
You know? That's fun.
Yeah. Right. And so he was like, hey, I just read Cody for a role today and he's going to be on Teen Wolf. And I was like, oh, okay. So he's like, you know, would you want to get him involved or like tell him about Brat Pack 11? And I was like, yeah, that'd be awesome. And so we set up a photo shoot together because after sending Cody an email, he was like, yeah, I'd love to help out. That'd be awesome. And we got to the photo shoot and that was the first time I met him. And
did you swoon?
Oh, to be honest, yes.
I mean, we swooned.
Listen, okay, I searched him on IMDb because at the time I didn't know who he was. And I was like, wow, me and my mom were on the computer and we're like, oh my God.
Yeah, he's and like gorgeous.
And then I'm like, I'm scrolling down. I'm like, oh my God, he's 21.
So, is that good or bad?
Yeah, is that young or old?
That's old.
Yeah, we're like, what is that?
He's like, he's old. I'm 17.
We had the same thought. Oh God, he's 21, but for the opposite reason.
Yeah, but honestly, he's like my brother now, so it's awesome. He's family to me.
Well, you guys have a like-minded spirit. You know, there's not very many people who are out there trying to take their experience and really turn it around for others.
Right. You know,
so you're probably very connected in that.
Yeah, absolutely. Cody's awesome. He's been through so much.
Like,
the fact that he's turned his life around and said, hey, I'm not going to take the angry route. I'm not going to go down that route. I'm going to make something out of myself is incredible. And it's something that I really look up to. I really do look up to him. He's so positive. Like, he's really that person in real life. You know, he's not just, it's not a facade or anything.
Yeah, and Cody was, he was taken away from his mother to, I think,
five.
Very, very young age and put into the foster system and then
adopted
and had dealt with abuse and all of that prior to being adopted. And, you know, he's been through it and he's definitely, you can totally go down a terrible road of drugs and this and that. And he's not. He's doing great things.
And now he's your awareness director.
He is. He's our awareness director. He's good at that. I mean, I'll be on Twitter sometimes. I'll be like scrolling through and I'm like, oh, Cody just had an interview. He's saying something about Brat Pack 11. So it's awesome.
Yeah, he did here.
He was wearing the dog tag. And we were like, what is that?
That's Julian Ava's dad.
Okay.
Yeah. On our wish experience for you know, the Taylor Swift and Girl Meets World one, he was there for that. And so they gave him a dog tag and he's been wearing it around, which is awesome because he totally doesn't have to do that.
It definitely, you know, it's a necklace that we both were like, you know, drawn to ask about.
Yeah.
So it's very effective.
It is. Yeah. It's awesome. It's a way to keep his memory alive for sure.
That's really lovely. So why 11? What's the 11 all about?
The Idris started it.
You started it.
Yeah. In a way, too, it's a reminder that, you know, you're never too old to do something if you set your mind to it.
Or
too young. And it's just, I don't know, that's when 11 was the year that my life completely changed. So just a way to, you know, and it's catchy, too. Brat Pack 11.
Yeah. So. Do you ever feel pressure to make all of this happen? And now that you're in it, to make it a thing and make it, you know, do you get inundated with kids who have wishes that you can't answer or fulfill yet? Like, what's happening in terms of the nuts and bolts of it?
It's definitely a lot of pressure because, you know, you want to make this, you know, something that they remember for the rest of their lives.
Yeah.
And you don't want to disappoint and you don't want them to be like, oh, well, I thought it was going to be this. And you know what I mean? So, and I'm like a perfectionist too. So I want everything. I want everybody to be happy and having the time of their lives. But usually during the wish application process, we kind of, you know, we'll get it through our website and then we'll vet it, you know, make sure it's legit and everything. And then we'll go from there and contact, you know, if it's something that we're able to do, we'll contact the families and and start from there. Yeah.
Do you go along on them or on the experiences?
Yes, I try. Depends, like what the experience is. If it's local, then for sure. Maybe one day if it's like out and about, I'd love to do that. You know, go and travel with the families, because I try to be there on the wish experiences, because it's really important to make that connection.
Right.
You know, I don't want to just be a poster child. I want to be out there, you know, making that connection and letting them know, hey, I'm here for you. This is what, you know, I hope happens. And
yeah.
And I'm sure there's some of them, like meeting T. Swift, that you're like, I will be there.
Yeah, I will be there. I didn't get to meet her, though. I was so sad, but I was so happy for them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was their takeaway on T?
They went in and their faces, they were so nervous the whole time. Like, they kind of just went pale in the face, you know, which anyone would do. Right. I think I would freak out.
I think I would too, honestly.
Yeah, I'm probably like, would too.
A woman.
And they came out and they're like, she's so tall. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
They were in like so much shock. I don't think they could process it really.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we should probably take a little break.
Okay.
And when we come back, we're going to find some youthy fun things out that you have to teach us. Do you have stuff for us that you, because you're a youth.
You are a youthy.
At the end of the day, you're a powerful youth. You're an uber youth, but you are a youth.
Yes, yes. I have some stuff to teach you guys.
Okay, cool. We'll be right back. OMFG!
You love us? You love Amazon. Here's a great way to shop at Amazon while supporting OMFG, too. Instead of going directly to them, go to wolfpop.com/Amazon. That'll take you to the same Amazon you know and love, and all the prices will be the great Amazon.com prices you know and love. But we'll get a sweet, sweet little kickback.
OMFG! And we're back.
Woo! We are here with Kenzie Hall.
Great name, by the way.
I know.
Thank you.
Kenzie Hall. Brat Pack 11. Like, it's so, so cool. Okay, so as a youth, a 17-year-old youth, do you have anything to teach your elders right now?
Actually, yeah, it's something that I really stress to my mom a lot. It sounds so simple, but think of texting as, like, you know, when you're in person talking, you have facial expressions.
Yeah. Right.
It's your way of communicating how you feel.
Yeah.
So the spelling of okay can communicate how you feel about something, right?
Just okay.
Go on.
I'll explain it. So,
because I only know the basic spelling of okay. Well, actually, I guess I know okay and okay. Yeah, okay. So go ahead.
Okay.
So there's OKAY, the basic one, right? That's just like, okay, sounds good. Okay, I'm feeling it. Okay, we're chill. And then there's okay. Like, so say someone, like, your friend just, like, spelled okay.
Okay.
It's hard to, like, say that.
I know.
Just
so the two letters
O,
and the letter K.
Yeah, letter O, letter K. So, like, say, for example, I don't know, your friend blows you off, but you're not, like, really in the mood to talk about it. And you kind of want the conversation to end. Okay. You're not that mad, but you're a little upset about it. So you send okay.
It's
bold.
A little more terse.
Yes.
Okay.
And exactly. And then there's KK. Like, KK sounds good. I'm kind of in a meeting. KK, I'll talk to you later.
It's got a more fun spirit too,
right.
I guess.
It's fun, but it's like an ending, like a brush off a little bit.
Yes, exactly.
Like, got it?
Yes,
kind
I
of
got
like
it.
KK.
KK got it.
Over
KK.
And out.
Yes, exactly. And then.
Copy that.
Right. And then there's the boldest of them all. It's the one that you do not want.
Oh.
It's just the K.
Oh, I can see that.
You get K'd.
I don't think I've known that I've been K'd, like that I was supposed to be upset by it.
But it's like this unwritten rule in teenagehood. Like, you don't do the K. But if you want to do the K, like, say, for example, I don't know, something tragic happens. You and your friend get in this huge fight, and they're typing paragraphs, like novels to you, and you don't want to respond, you put the K. And then if you want to emphasize, it's like a burn. And then if you want to emphasize that K, you put a period.
Oof.
It's like this bold move that you do. And they're like, oh my God, she just K'd me.
I feel like that.
She K'd me.
I feel like that is me in fights in real life.
Like, you just don't want to deal with it. You're like, okay.
Like, it's like an eye roll. It's like, okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh yeah.
My God.
Oh, I feel that. I feel it a lot.
And like, also, if you think about it, like, exclamation points and the adding or not adding of periods and like emojis, it changes everything.
It does.
Well, actually, Deanna and I were just talking about this morning. She is a big fan of Bitmoji, and so am I.
Yes, yeah.
And
game changer.
Yes, yes, yes.
She got her husband to create his Bitmoji, and now she was saying that...
Well, I was saying that, you know, he used to give me just couple words and
like an okay.
Yeah, like a K period. I have to go back and see if
it doesn't even
K
apply to boys. Boys suck at texting.
Okay, so these rules do not apply.
Oh, that's interesting. Because so if you get a K from a guy, you're not like,
it's
oh,
not like
he just
oh my
brushed me off.
Well, okay, it depends the guy. Depends on the guy. Mm-hmm. I mean, I dated this guy who would K me if he was ever mad at me. So it depends
right.
on the guy.
Yeah.
Depends
you
on
can
the guy.
Get a nasty
but K. most of the guys, like, they just don't really care for texting.
They're not dropped
they're
into
like,
it.
Yeah, they're not like, oh my god, I gotta add an emoji or
yeah,
right.
You know what I mean?
Well, yeah. So I never got emojis from him. I was like, do you have emojis? And he said no. And we have a relationship where he's here 1 month and gone the next for work. So I need the emoji,
right.
You know,
mm-hmm.
and he would never give it to me. I was like, I need more than this. This is not satisfying.
Right.
So now that we have Bitmoji, he loves it. And
oh,
like,
good.
I feel great. Like I get such a genuine thrill out of like his cute Bitmojis.
Oh my gosh.
They make me so happy.
Those are so cute. I love their
Bitmojis.
They're
so cute. And
well, and
fun.
They emote feelings.
Right.
Whereas normal text doesn't. So
exactly.
Yeah.
Have you guys seen the new emojis? The newer emojis have tacos and unicorns and everything now. It's insane.
It felt like when that came out, it was like, oh, they listened.
We needed more.
They did.
Thank you for like giving us different colors. That was really important,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
to have an option of like a tanner skin or.
Exactly.
But
right.
now we have unicorns and tacos, which obviously we needed.
Obviously.
Okay, so we have a little game for you.
Ooh, fun, okay.
Are you up for that?
I'm so up for that.
Okay.
Love games.
Okay, so often what happens when we bring a youth in with, you know, there's a natural connection for us to something we know and love.
Right.
And with you, Brat Pack, that means something different to us.
A little bit different.
A little bit different.
Do you know what it means?
Yes, it's the original Brat Pack.
Yeah.
Like Breakfast Club, yeah.
So we're going to play a game called How Well Do You Know the Brat Pack?
Oh. Okay. Oh, geez.
Okay.
Do you want to kick it off?
No, go ahead.
Oh, okay. So who is not a member of the Brat Pack? Emilio Estevez, Anthony Michael Hall, Rob Lowe, Bruce Willis, Molly Ringwald, or Ally Sheedy?
Jeez.
I don't think Bruce Willis is.
Ding, 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 ding.
Yay!
Correct. Very good.
So that one stands out.
You took that, like, I like the way you processed it.
I'm telling you, you have so much confidence.
Yes.
We're
going
to get to that after.
Thank you.
Okay.
This is an age question.
Okay.
Okay? So Anthony Michael Hall and Molly Ringwald in the movie...
The Breakfast Club.
Oh, my favorite movie. Okay.
Okay. How old were they when they filmed this movie? Were they 16? They were both the same age.
Okay.
16, 17, or 24?
Okay, so being an actor myself, I feel like they have older to play younger. They
okay.
usually do. But I don't know. This was like in the 80s and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, back all the way
So
down.
I don't know if that really applies. Oh, geez, Breakfast Club, they were in high school.
16, 17, or 24?
I'm going to go with 24. Am I wrong?
They
17?
16.
They were 16?
They were 16. They look old AF.
They do.
But they were 16.
See, they don't do
mature.
That anymore. You don't ever see like an actor actually
yeah.
playing their age.
I know. Which
I'm disappointed.
Correct. Just makes us all feel like we have to look a lot younger than we are.
Exactly.
It's just not fair. Okay. The article that coined the term Brat Pack came out in what year? 1985? 1989 or 1990?
I don't know this one.
Like when the word first came about.
Yeah.
It was 1985?
Ding, 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 yay! That felt right, but I think I would have said 89. So great. Great work.
Super great work.
Well, and I just actually changed that because I had 85, 95, but since she already knew it was 80s, I made it harder.
Oh, good girl.
I made it harder for you.
She still won.
I know.
Rob Lowe's career hit a bump due to issues with drugs, alcohol, or a sex tape.
Wait, are they separate? Drugs, alcohol, yeah, or sex tape?
One, two, or three.
Drugs? Was alcohol?
Sex tape.
Sex tape?
He was the original Kim Kardashian.
He was the OG.
Didn't he have a drugs and alcohol problem, though?
Maybe, but that wasn't the big ish. I actually don't know that he had a drug and alcohol problem.
No, that wasn't him. That was the guy who played Iron Man.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Robert Downey Jr.
I got him mixed up with Rob Lowe.
And that's fair. They're probably about the same age. But yeah, he had a sex tape, which was like, he was the original bad boy.
It was like a VHS. That's the part that makes me laugh so hard. It's like, you'd have to push really hard to like get that around town.
Right. You'd have to actually go to the mailbox and
copies with a tape-to-tape.
Tape-to-tape situation. Yeah.
I mean, they say any publicity is good publicity. I don't know if a sex tape is.
Look, he was on The Office. I mean, he's fine.
He has a new show now.
He's the done grinder. Great. What we're learning is actually having a sex tape prolongs your career. Nobody's done poorly.
That's true. Do not advocate the sex tape.
No sex tape for you, Kenzie.
No.
Kenzie Hall. Not Let's not time. Play games, okay?
Okay. What is not a Brat Pack movie? 16 Candles, The Breakfast Club, Back to the Future, or St. Elmo's Fire?
Back to the Future.
She looks and she's pensive and you wonder, but then she gets it.
She is on fire.
Bam.
All right.
I'm very impressed.
I know.
Thank you. I don't think a lot of 17-year-olds could do this.
Well, see, my parents like forced me to watch
the
good stuff, and it wasn't like I loved it all, so.
Great.
Bless them.
True or false? Judd Nelson was so rude to Molly Ringwald on the set of Breakfast Club that they almost fired him. True or false?
I'm going to go with true.
Ding, 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 ding. Wow. Killing it.
Because I feel like I heard that before. I feel like I did. Somewhere.
Why you got to be so rude, Judd?
I think he was just really being, you know, super...
cocky?
Technique-y about the whole situation. Like, staying in character. Oh, wow. That happens. What are you going to do?
Also, he was probably only, like, 18.
Right. So and he probably loved her and couldn't handle it.
You know.
All right, here's our last question for you.
Okay.
Anthony Michael Hall's character, Brian, was originally interpreted as having a learning disability, being part of the NRA, or having the curtain not match the old drapes.
I don't even know. I feel like I'm just going to go with the funniest one. The curtains don't match the drapes.
I love that as something in a plot line. Like, this is his secret thing. Curtains don't match the drapes.
Especially, I mean, you know, when you have kind of a strawberry blonde, you
either way.
You just never know.
He was originally interpreted as having a learning
disorder.
And I think they went a different way with it. But that was really fun.
Yeah,
that was
great job.
Thank you, guys.
You did a wonderful job at knowing your Brat Pack.
Yeah, so you can keep your title. If you didn't win this test, we were going to have to strip the Brat Pack 11.
Strip the Brat Pack from me. You know what? That's understandable. Yeah. I'd get that.
So, okay. What is the 5-year plan, or where do you see the organization? What's your vision? How can we help you with your vision, or what do you see? What do you want?
What do I see? 5 years. Well, hopefully, I hope that Brat Pack has its own headquarters. That'd be fun to have like a full staff.
Amazing.
And everything. And I'm totally envisioning one day like having the own like Brat Pack magazine, like where you'd have celebrities who are military brats brace the cover or grace the cover. So you'd have so I'm totally thinking about having a Brat Pack magazine where you would have military brats who were celebrities grace the cover, and they could talk about, you know, their life as a military brat and how it's helped them, you know, get where they are.
Who are the celebrities that are
isn't Amy Adams a military brat? Reese Witherspoon. Tiger Woods is even a military brat. There's so many of them. Michael B. Jordan, who has a new movie coming out, you know, the boxing movie.
He's cool. Great. I love him.
Yeah, a ton of people. I can't think of all of them.
Yeah, there's that's really cool.
A lot of them don't talk about it as much,
which is
unfortunate. I don't know. Michael B. Jordan talked about it once in, like, I think a TV show, but it was just, like, once, and that's how I found out about it. And his dad's, like, a Marine or whatever. But, yeah, it's awesome to find out, like, all these people were military brats.
Well, I imagine that as an actor specifically, it's very helpful to kind of be able to, you know, have to go into all of these different, if you're moving around or, you know, kind of having to see all, you know, because a lot of it is moving around as a military. Did you guys move around?
Yeah.
You did.
11 times, 12 different schools.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So is that where all this confidence comes from?
I don't know, I guess.
I love it.
Thank you, guys.
I want all the secrets.
I think it's just, it came from, honestly, having to learn to stand my ground. I mean, I was guided by some incredible people, you know, who gave me advice for Brat Pack 11, but they really wanted, they saw Brat Pack 11 to be something different. And I didn't want to be a poster child. I really wanted to be involved. And
yeah.
So I really had to be like, no, this is what I want. This is what I see. I may be 17 years old, but I have a vision and this is what I want it to, you know,
it's really
become.
Good.
Thank you.
So how was it going from school to school? What is something that you've noticed in every school that's kind of consistent?
Cliques.
Mm. Okay.
Cliques. People, okay, so when you go to a new school, these people have known each other since like pre-K.
Yeah.
You know, besties since the start, and they don't want anybody new in their group. I mean, right. I went to a middle school once where I was a new girl, and everybody was really nice to me, right? And so I made these new friends, but I started getting hate mail online anonymously through an old site called Formspring. And it was like ask.fm, and you know, where you could ask questions anonymously. It's
okay.
Not used anymore.
Okay.
That was like the big thing in middle school.
Ask.fm?
Yeah, or Formspring. And
Formspring sounds like a cult.
It wasn't a smart idea to begin with to allow kids to ask questions anonymously. That's just an easy way to get.
Yeah, terrible.
So, I mean, it wasn't a smart idea to have an account. But I would get stuff like, oh, you know, nobody wants to be your friend. They're just being nice to you because you're the new girl. I mean, I got called some pretty nasty stuff that I won't say. But
you were like, okay, period.
Send. Bye.
Yeah. How did you move through that?
I ended up finding out who the girl was, and, you know, she was just insecure that I was going to steal her friends. That's what she basically
did
told me. No, I didn't. I was friends with the people. I wasn't like, I was going to be like, okay, bye, I can't be friends with you because this girl doesn't want me to.
Did you have a real conversation with her?
Yeah, because I wanted to know who this girl was. And
how did you find out?
I talked to... Because I knew it was somebody from the group.
Yeah.
Right. It was just obvious. And so I would talk to the different people and they were like, oh, well, I know who it is. One girl who knew who it was.
Yeah.
I was like, well, just tell me. And she told me who it was. And I talked to the girl and she was like, well, I'm really, really sorry. But like, I just don't want to lose my friends. And I was like, well, you don't have to take it out on me. And unfortunately, I mean, I started getting bullied quite a lot, you know, middle school through high school. I mean, about my body. And it turned out to be my own friends.
I mean, what's your great, like, I don't understand. What's the issue?
I don't understand either.
Well, no.
It's cuckoo.
I was like, this was like the end of eighth grade, and there was like this big, you know, hey, we're going into high school, and it was with all my friends, and I adored these people. Like,
right.
I finally felt like I had a place being the new kid all the time. It was hard because I never felt like I belonged anywhere. Like,
right.
I had that best friend for the past 4 years. I never had any of that. And so, yeah, I was at this party with my friends, and I was at a time in my life where I was still growing into my body, and, you know, I wasn't, like, stick skinny.
Right.
But I was confident, and I was like, hey, I'm going to rock it. I'm going to be okay in this bathing suit. It was like a hot tub kind of party thing going on. And,
oh, God.
Yeah, and so it was like a sleepover thing, and I left the next morning, and one of the girls that I talked to throughout the night, and we became close that night, called me and was like, hey, your friends were not saying very good things about you. And I was like, what are you talking about? She was like, you know, where they were calling you ugly and obnoxious and fat and just these awful, awful things. And I called one of the girls who said it. And I was like, why would you say those things about me? I thought we were friends.
Good for you.
She wouldn't even get on the phone. She had her other friend defend her. And I was like, guys, like, I thought we were friends. What did I do? And going into high school, I was friendless.
I had the same exact experience, not in a hot tub, but at summer camp. And same exact experience.
Went into
they
high school friendless.
Went into high school friendless. And they, I didn't never.
So mean.
And they said horrible things to me that I overheard at night in the summer camp.
Oh my God.
It's
awful.
A terrible, terrible experience.
And they were vicious and cruel. I mean, I had pictures drawn of me. Like some guy came up to me in class one day. He was like, are you still friends with these people? I mean, this was like months into my freshman year. And I was like, yeah, we're kind of friends now. Like we're good. And they drew pictures of me. They were like, oh, this girl, like, pointing out different, you know, body parts and, like,
oh,
saying,
God.
And, like, yeah, it's just awful. And they're like, I wore these combat I wore these combat boots to school every day. And I went to a school where everybody wore like sweatshirts and like leggings, and they didn't really try, but I liked fashion and I liked dressing up. And I wore these combat boots because it went with everything. They were super cute. They were from Roxy. Like, I liked them, and I was confident in them. And they're like, oh, Shaw, these stupid combat boots that she wears every day. And my mom, I called my mom crying from the bathroom because these people were supposed to be my friends. And she was like, you know what? Don't worry about it. And so after school, I go to the car, and she's like, oh, I saw those girls. And I was like, what do you mean you saw those girls? I was like, yeah, I called them over. And I was like, oh, my God, Mom, what did you do?
Oh, my God, I'm dying.
Go, Mom, go. Go, Mom, go.
I know, but I'm dying.
I died, but I laughed so hard. You have to hear the story.
I'm scared.
She rolls down the window, and she goes, hey, how are you guys? And they're like, oh, we're good. How are you, Mrs. Hall? And she goes, so I heard you love Kinsey's combat boots. And they kind of give this look to each other like,
uh-oh.
Yeah, we love them. She's like, you know what? I heard you loved them so much that you drew a picture of them. So I can totally tell you where she got them from. Because obviously that's super mature of you. She's like, they were like, oh, no, we didn't do that. She's like, uh-huh, sure. They walked off. And I was like, oh, my God.
That's
I mean,
awesome.
It didn't help anything.
Right.
But it was funny.
See, like, what I fear is if you were my daughter, I'd be like, you love those combat boots because I'm going to put them on and stomp on your face. That's what I feel I would do to children and be like, you like them? Like them in your face right now. That's what I'm scared of.
Honestly. And the bullying never stopped. I even came to California and they were making vines of me. So
oh my
it was
God,
like.
I hate them.
And yeah,
I
you
just,
know what?
I don't even understand.
You know what? Because people are animals.
And. That is our takeaway today.
And you know, if you are the new kid in these scenarios, it's like nobody wants this bullying to land on them. So it's easier when somebody's kind of new to a situation it's like probably one person or two who's just really afraid of it, the light shining on them. Mm-hmm. So they want to put it on someone else. And it's easier to do with somebody new to the game.
I don't even think they really knew they were bullying. That's the sad part. Like,
yeah.
I mean, they came up to me multiple times and would apologize.
Okay.
And it was kind of weird because they just didn't know what they were doing and they were so afraid of confrontation. And and I've learned if you confront them, they don't want anything to do with
it.
And they were actually intimidated of me. I can't speak today, guys. I don't know what's wrong. They were actually intimidated because I would actually be like, hey, guys, what's up? Like, why is this going on?
I love that you did that. I didn't have the balls at that age to actually be like, what's up? What's going on? Like, let's have a conversation. I think that's a really great approach to having conflict.
Right. And I think, too, you know, I look back on it now and I'm like, you know, it is kind of sad what they were doing, but at the same time, I think we're all just growing and learning and finding out who we are, and we're trying to discover ourselves, and sometimes we're insecure and we're feeling bad about ourselves, so, hey, let me go and make somebody else feel bad to kind of take the light off of me, like you were saying, and I don't have any hard feelings for them now. I hope they're happy. I hope they're doing well, and I wish them the best of luck, but honestly, I hope they did learn, and I hope you know, that kind of stuff stops.
It probably, for sure. probably did.
Well,
it probably
it's quite did. Clear to me that no matter where they are, like, you're just cool. You're just way cooler
you're
than they are.
We're clear about that.
And not that it's a competition, but, like, you're coming in here and saying these amazing things that are, like, wiser beyond your years. Like, if they helped contribute to that, then I thank them. But, like, you are just a beautiful human being.
Yeah.
So
thank you so much. It definitely pushed me, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure. To be something cool.
So tell us somebody's interested in either participating in Brat Pack 11 or helping out, you know, in whatever way, contributing to the organization. Where do they do this? How do they do it?
So basically, you can go to bratpack11.com, BRATPACK number 11.com. If you're interested in having a wish granted, if you're a military brat of a wounded or fallen soldier, you can go there, submit an application. If you want to contact us about something, you can also email us from there. We have Twitter and Instagram. It's just bratpack11, and you guys can reach us from there. It's awesome.
That's great. Thank you so much for being here.
And thank you guys for having me.
Last question. Is there something that you can't fulfill right now that you are looking to fulfill?
I'm trying to think. There's just so many I have in my, like, in my email, in my drafts. I mean, we have some right now. Ariana Grande, Selena Gomez. We have
meet and greets, kind
like
of
meet
thing.
And greets kind of things. We're doing one for a family, you know, who wants to go on a Disney cruise. We're looking into that right now. We have some Disneyland wishes. So that's what we're looking into.
All right, if anyone is listening who is a member of the Disney family, please reach out to us. We'll get this all figured out.
Last weird question: could we, as an individual, contribute to like a fund?
Yes, you can donate on our website, bratpack11.com, and all of the money goes towards granting wishes and making these wishes possible for the kids.
Great.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Thank you guys. So much.
This is great. For having me. Thank you for being here.
Of course.
OMFG! Okay, nothing is more heartwarming than Kenzie Hall.
True. True story. Like,
and I'm so glad that this is our Christmas episode because it really gave me the feels.
Me too.
This is someone who is doing such wonderful things mm-hmm. at such a young age.
Yeah.
That I know I've said this before, but like, I'm excited to see where her journey goes.
Yeah.
Because I do think that she's going to just be bringing us all beautiful things for years and years to come.
I couldn't agree more. I think that we learned a lot from her. And I think, you know, her experience has informed a lot of what she's doing right now in good ways, you know?
It's like the definition of making lemonade out of fucking lemons.
Right.
You know?
Totally. She was awesome. And she and her mom schlepped to get here.
2 hours. They just casually dropped as they were leaving. Oh, yeah, we've got a 2-hour drive ahead of us. I'm like, excuse me?
Yeah. I mean, I don't even know what's 2 hours from now, like, that I would go do.
No.
It's like,
if someone said, will you be on my podcast in San Diego tomorrow?
Right.
Thank you. Thank you, Kenzie, for making that drive
that
with your mom.
Awesome. Her mom was so sweet.
You guys, that was touching.
It was really, really good.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, definitely we're gonna follow up on with her, and if we have any info for you guys on what we can do, I feel like this is such a quality organization.
Yeah, definitely go to bratpack11.com, and you can see a lot of the people that she's helped on there. There's some really cool stories. She got a girl on The Voice. I mean, it was just really cool stuff. And also, we want to do a quick shout out to our friend at @vitamin_junior. At OMFG Pod, I sing Eyebrows on Fleek the Fuck in my head all day. Thank you, Josie, because you know what? That's an oldie, but
a goodie. A
so
real
thank
goodie.
Thank you so much.
And if I recall, Josie is a newer listener who went and ingested all of 2014 and 2015 in like one hot sweep. So she got learned real quick.
Well, as we're right ahead of this new year, Josie, I hope you're excited for 2016, because we certainly are.
And you know what? I won't ever K-period you.
Oh, my God.
I say that right here and right now.
Thank you. I will never do that to you either. I may KK you.
Yeah.
But I mean it in the loveliest way.
And I look forward to that.
KK.
I'll feel great. It's like a sing-song, you know?
Yeah.
But K-period? I mean, if I've... You know, to anyone, I'm so sorry, you know.
I'm so sorry, too. You can follow us at OMFG Pod. I am Emily Foster at Frida Foster.
And I'm Deanna Chang at Deanna Raphael.
Bye, guys. We'll see you soon.
Bye.
Pop. This has been a Wolf Pop production. Executive produced by Paul Scheer, Adam Sachs, Chris Bannon, and Matt Gourley. For more information and content, visit wolfpop.com.